Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is a story about a series of murders and disappearances that happened in the winter of 2000, previously on A New Winter. I felt my breath stop. That hair. I only knew one person who had hair like that. Mr. Tooney gave a little clap. "Here she is," he said. And the woman stood up, and there, in front of me, was Kate Stockwell. This is episode 32 of A New Winter. I couldn't believe it. Here, in front of me, was Kate. "Kate, I..." I did not know what to say. "I know you see me as Kate, but you must know I'm not. They chose this for you. They thought it would make it easier." "Make what easier?" Mr. Tooley stepped in. "Well, in fact, you chose her, but not for the same reasons." "This isn't making any sense. How is Kate alive?" "Oh, Kate's very much dead," Tooley answered. "You see her in front of you, but she's now host to one of us. Well, one of you." "One of me?" I asked. My head started thumping again. "Yes, but you're still holding on to your old memories. You're somehow still him and the others from before. No matter what we do, he's still clinging on. It's quite persistent." "No, wait." And I started to hyperventilate. "What are you saying? That I came from one of those things? That I'm not me?" "Calm down," Tooley said. "You're not well." "But I had to get out. I had to get out of there. It couldn't be true. It just can't be." I pushed past all the masked ones and ran out into the farm and onto the road. And I didn't stop. I didn't know where I was going, but I didn't look back. I fell over and hit my head. But soon the thoughts came rushing back in of Kate, the masked ones. And I stood up, even weaker now, and just kept pushing on. I just kept running and running, and whilst I was running, I decided that I was crazy. I decided that I'd made it all up. That in fact, that was it. I'd just gone insane. I wonder where the turning point was. The one event where I'd lost my handle on reality. Was it entering the used entrance? Did that even exist? Was it even earlier? Maybe I'd just been like this all along. But from a distance, I noticed a car flashing its lights and sounding its horn. I slowed down. "What did it do, Bridge? Michael, maybe?" "Wait," I heard someone shout from the car. "Wait, stop, it's Jack." And so I stopped for this tiny blue Volkswagen to pull up. Jack Reynolds was waving inside for me to get in. So I did. I just sat there. What happened back there? Where did you go? Back where? At the church? I've no idea. You tell me what happened. Well, all I know is that I was chatting to Ian. Suddenly I was on the floor. Where did you go? I ran. I just ran. There were those masked, weird people around. I don't know. I just wasn't staying there. Where did you go after that? Where have you been? I stayed at the Bell, but a lot's happened. Someone was killed there. I just couldn't stay. I just tried to find somewhere else, I said. I was feeling my voice crack. God, what on earth happened to you? Are you okay? Yeah, I think I saw Kate. Jack's face looked shocked. I think you need to lie down. You're clearly not thinking straight. Father Jack, I said, rubbing my palms together. I've gone insane, haven't I? Look, son, this town has an effect on people. The important thing is that you're safe. You're safe and you're well. But what's wrong with me? And I started sobbing. Hey, look, nothing's wrong with you. There's nothing we can't fix. Let's get you holed up somewhere. Where did you say you were staying? The Bell? Yeah, I said, but I can't go back there. Jackie was found there. Dead. She'd been killed. Okay, Jack said. Okay, just calm down. Look, we'll sort it out, okay? You don't need to say any more. Let's just get there. I'll take care of everything. I nodded. Like a child. Like a scolded child who's suddenly given a welcoming hand. It was pathetic, really, but I didn't care. I thought that was it. My mind had snapped, and to be honest, I just didn't care much what happened to me now. We pulled up to the Bell. Stay here, Jack said, and got out. I sat there for 10 minutes or so, just staring out the window. He came back and waved me to come in with him. We went up to room 108, walking past the room where... Well, the room where Jackie had been killed. Michael's room. We went back into the room where I'd been staying. This is it, right? Jack said. This was the room you've been staying in? Yeah, I said. But how did you... Look, don't worry about it. Just relax. Sleep. Rest. Jack smiled, as if waiting for a reaction. Okay, I said, and smiled back, disingenuously. Right, well, I'm gonna go, but don't do anything. Sit here and rest. Don't worry about the room, it's all paid for. Just sleep. I nodded, and Jack left. I looked out the window and watched him walk around the corner to his car. Then once I'd seen the car leave, I looked around the room. I checked everything, the bed, the light fittings, anything I could. I needed to make sure I wasn't being watched or bugged. I didn't care if it was me being paranoid. I thought back to seeing Kate. She was now, what, a host? To whatever they were. But looking around, there was nothing. A good sign, I suppose. No bugs, nothing. I was exhausted and I settled down to rest, hoping I'd feel better tomorrow. But suddenly, after what seemed like only an hour of resting, there was a loud bang on my door. I hesitated. Open up, it's me. I wasn't sure, but I opened the door. And I saw Dewbridge standing there. Where the fuck were you? And he looked out of breath. I don't know, I saw Kate, I said. And Dewbridge lowered his head. Damn it. He sighed. What the hell are they up to? He pushed past me and laid on the bed. I saw he was clutching his stomach. He was bleeding. What's happened? Are you okay? I asked. Yes, fine. Look, it's nothing. Well, it doesn't look like nothing. Someone jumped me where we were supposed to meet. A mask, some balaclava or something. Who did you tell about us meeting? Who knows? But me? No one. I swear. I swear it. Look, you need to go to a hospital, surely. And I need to go to a hospital. I'll be fine. It looks worse than it is. I just need to keep pressure on it. Dewbridge, what happened to Kate? I mean, what's going on? Look, she won't be Kate, he said through a grimace. What do you mean? What are they? Aliens or something? Dewbridge laughed. No, not aliens. Jesus. I guess they are, well, possessed. Possessed by what? Look, trust me, you don't want to know. I took a minute to raise the courage for what I'd been ignoring so far. Look, I do want to know. It's Thule. He said I was one of them. Is he right? Truthfully, I'm not sure, Dewbridge answered. Sincerely. Whatever's happened, they're not quite happy about it. They don't seem to know how to deal with it. And just then the window smashed. I quickly ducked. What the hell was that? Then the next one smashed. I looked, and I could see two bricks were flung into the room. I looked out the window, but I couldn't see anyone. I looked at the bricks, and I could see that one of them had a piece of paper attached to it with an elastic band. I opened it up, and in scribbled writing, it said, I know what you are. Well, at least someone does, I thought. Come on, Dewbridge said. We can't stay here, bricks flying around. He cried out in pain and grabbed his stomach as he got up. I went to help him, but he just shooed me away. I'm fine. Stop bothering me. Let's just go. We walked outside the bell. Where now? I asked. Well, let's go to my car. You're going to have to drive. And Dewbridge looked at me intensely. We're going to leave this town. I felt my stomach rumble, and I suddenly got extremely nauseous. Okay, I said. Okay, let's go. I'm going to leave. We got into his car, and I got behind the wheel. He lay down on the back seat, grumbling in pain. Can you even drive? He asked. And I had to think about it. I'll try. As soon as I took his keys, I switched the engine on, started driving. Where are we going? I asked. Look, anywhere. Just go. Let's get out of here. I've had it. I promised Grahams I'd take care of you. I would try and make sure nothing happened. Why? Why would she even care? Because of who you were. Who you really are before all this, before anything else. Before they took you away and brought you back. She was your sister. What? And the shock made me swerve the car. As I pulled it back, I saw someone in the middle of the road. I had a flashback of the little girl, the one I thought I'd hit in my dream. And as we got closer, I drew my breath, because it indeed was a girl, standing in the road. I slammed the brakes and came to a stop just before her. What are you doing? Dewbridge shouted. He looked up over the seat from behind me, and we both saw the girl. She was wearing a black balaclava, and as she stood there, she took it off. And I knew her. I recognized her immediately. It was Sophia, the daughter of the German. She just stood there, motionless. Drive. Drive, Dewbridge shouted. But I didn't move. I just watched as she put her hand in her pocket. She pulled out a gun. And within a second, a shot rang out. The windscreen shattered and I shielded my eyes. And as I opened them, I saw that in the back seat was Dewbridge, with a hole in the center of his head. I just want to say a big thank you to those that have sponsored the show on Patreon. We've taken off our premium package now, but you can still go on Patreon and make a donation as much as you want. Every little bit will help. And Hopefully we can keep giving you more content. Soon we'll be releasing the extra content that was exclusive to the Patreon members over the next few weeks. So please watch out for that. And you can tweet us, as always, at A New Winter, or email us at anewwinterpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.